Welcome to another edition of the Gospel Mailbox. I'm Donnie Barrison. And as always, if you want to get in touch with us here at the Gospel Mailbox, you can contact us via the internet, www.gospelmailbox.org, or call us 423-544-0623, or write us via post, P.O. Box 2446, Chattanooga, Tennessee 37409.
And now here's Brother John Hedrick from the Tiftonia Church of God.
Today I want to talk to you about friends matter. It matters to have friends today. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, many will say they are loyal friends, but who can find one who is truly reliable? John 15, 13 says, greater love has no man than, has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. From the beginning, we were created for the purpose of relationships. God did not create us to be alone. I don't know if you are the type of person that can do a lot of things alone or not, but I like having someone to hang out with, whether it be my wife or my closest friends. I love going, when you're going to, it's not fun to go eat alone. It's not fun to go eat alone. If I'm having a rare prime rib, it is awesome to express the joy that I have eating that wonderful selection of meat, as red as it is, or it's wonderful to see the expressions of people that's about to go out to the bathroom and call on Ralph. Or it's not fun to go golfing a lot. Golfing alone. You know, I've golfed one time. I think I'm going to try again if I can. I went to play golf with the band at school when my son was in band, and it was a team thing, and the best shot got you start from there out of all the four people that's on the team. I always tell them, so I better go first. They say, why? Because I'm going to take time to find the ball wherever it went in the weeds. Because it's going to go in the weeds. And I don't know how many times I've tore the turf up and the ball still sits there. So I better go first and then y'all have fun after I'm finding the ball. But it's fun to go. It's nice to go with someone. And that way somebody can say, that was a nice shot, wasn't it? Always feels good to have somebody with you. It's not even fun to go to an event or a conference even alone. It's not even fun to even go on vacation alone. Is it, Brother Cagle? Brother Cagle. Now that's one man that can entertain himself. Amen. And that's okay. But that's okay. But I need a friend. I need a friend. We were created as social beings. God created us to with this unbelievable ability to affect one another. We depend upon one another for survival, sustenance, and for our well-being. We need to have friends. We need the interaction of friendship. God said it is a good thing to have friends. It is not good to be alone. A person who has a lot of friends and a lot of relationships is the building blocks of a growing church. Amen? We affect God. God has two purposes. God has two purposes in creating man. Man was to affect and to be effective. We affect God, God affects us, we affect others, and others affect us. You can't affect others by being alone or vice versa. Our need for friendship is as deep as our need for food. We can only survive so long without food, and we only can serve, some of us can only survive so long without our friends. We need our friends, and our friend needs us. I logged on the internet the other day. I Googled these two words, need friends. And in 2/10 of a second, 253 million results, search results came up. Then I Googled, want friends. In less than 2/10 of a second, there were 5,200,000,000 search results. People are lonely today. People are looking for true friends. The world needs real friends. Even in the church, we need friends. Sometimes, even in the shelter of the church, it can be very lonely for some people. Did you know that us Pentecostals are one of the greatest groups of showing ourselves friendly to and entertaining people? But when it comes to one-on-one true friendship, there are still some who fall short of that task. We see other church members for an hour or two a week. But for the most part, that's all there is to it. That should never be. We need to have close friends in the church. Jesus was somebody who was not only showed himself friendly, but he had a number of very close friends. John 11:5 says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. You see, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were all very close friends to Jesus. When Jesus came to the city of Jerusalem, he would often stay at this family's house. They lived in Bethany, which was a couple of miles from Jerusalem. When Jesus wanted to escape the crowds, he would sneak out of town to go to Lazarus' house in Bethany. This was his retreat. This was his retreat when he where he could relax and renew himself from the pressures of life. This family grew very close to Jesus. It was Lazarus who Jesus raised from the dead later. On one occasion, Jesus stopped by and Mary chose to sit at his feet while Martha tended to the things of the house. Martha was so upset, though, at Mary because she wasn't helping around the house. But listen to what Jesus said. In Luke 10:41 says, and Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary chose that good part. Which shall not be taken away from her. Jesus rebuked Martha because she was interfering with what the Bible calls a needful thing. Jesus called it a good part. What was he referring to? Jesus was referring to their close relationship, their friendship of one another. Mary needed it and Jesus needed it. We need friends. I don't know about you, but I need friends. Jesus had three other very close friends. Peter, James, and John were Jesus' disciples, but they were also his best friends. It was these three that Jesus pulled close to himself when the going got really tough. It was these three friends that went to the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. On that mountain, they saw the cloud that overshadowed Jesus. They saw his face bright as the sun. They saw him talking with Moses and Elijah. This was a special time for Jesus, and he chose to share it with his best friends. Matthew, in fact, this was a secret between them. Matthew 17:9 says, "And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, 'Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead.'" We know that if Jesus needed friends, we ought to need friends too. If Jesus needed to be able to share a few secrets, then we need trusted friends to be able to share our secrets with. Not only do we need friends, but we need to be friendly. It helps to be friendly. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." We all have friends, yet beyond these friends, we must show ourselves friendly. Jesus was the best example of this too. He ate with the publicans. You remember Zacchaeus? He ate with sinners. He ate with the Gentiles. He even fellowshiped with harlots, and he befriended the lepers. Anybody that society would look down on, Jesus was their friends. I have a feeling that that's what we need to be doing in our church world today, that we need to be friending people who are less fortunate. That's where we're to go out the highways and the hedges and the byways to compel them to get off the streets and come into the house of God. I believe we need to make some friends, don't you? Amen. It wasn't just for the down and out either that you make friends with. Jesus also befriended Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, who were both very wealthy and also members of the prestigious Sanhedrin Council. These men were the very elite of Israel. So I'd like to see the mayor come in this church. You think he would? Don't rule it out. In fact, Jesus was buried in the sepulchre of Joseph of Arimathea. Jesus also befriended a centurion of the Roman army. These were not close friends, yet Jesus was a friend to them all. And because of his friendship, he was able to affect all these men and women for the sake of the gospel. You might call this, in today's lingo, this is what we would call networking. Thanks to Facebook. Will you be my friend? Will you be my friend? Whenever Jesus went to show himself friendly, wherever he went, he showed himself friendly. Wherever you go and wherever you want to talk, whoever you talk to, whether it is at the grocery store or the gas station or the cleaners, even the mailman and the garbage man, you need to befriend them too. Co-workers, neighbors, you need to show yourself friendly. That is one way that we are going to win souls for Jesus. I want to be like Jesus, don't you? We need friendship, for assistance and strength. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Who is going to be there for you when you fall? Who's going to be there for you when you are sick? Who's going to be there when you are broke? Thank God for friends. We need friendship counsel. Proverbs 27:9 says, perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from the earnest counsel. How many of you found that to be true? Hearty counsel from the heart. It is only your closest friend that will tell you what they really think. You say, well, oh, I told somebody what I thought the other day. Well, yeah, you probably did. But it only made yourself look good. But if you tell your friend what you think of them, it's going to make them better. That's the difference between a real friend and somebody you just told somebody about. Praise the Lord. It may not be the wisest counsel. It may not be what you want to hear. But it will be from their heart, and it will be in love. There is something special about receiving counsel from someone you have a trusted relationship. We need friendship for both spiritual and personal and spiritual growth. Have you heard this before? You are who you hang out with. You are who you hang out with. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. If you happen to be with someone who has committed any crime, chances are you're going to be charged with it as well. Even if you feel like you're not involved. That's just an example. Whether you believe it or not, people judge you according to who you are associated with. This works in both ways. It's going to be either a negative way or a positive way. That is why you want to choose your friends wisely. And all the parents of children says, amen. Amen. Solomon says, as iron sharpens iron, so does a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. Your thinking becomes like your friend's. And your attitude becomes like your friend's. I don't know if I even need to go there again. I know I talked to you about my son. He go off to spend time with a relative, a cousin. He come back and he's all smart alecky and he's all cocky and he's all this and that, mouthy and not showing respect. And I said, that don't go with me. So you got to straighten them back out so they talk respectfully. I'm going to tell you something. It matters who you hang out with, because it can either make a bad effect on you or it can make a good effect on you. You choose today. Solomon's words still are true today. Iron sharpens iron. Our attitudes are becoming sociable. There is a word called the universal law of attraction. This law states that we attract what we think about. If we if we focus on the failures of and problems that life brings, then that is what we are attracted to. If we focus on prosperity and health, then that is what we're attracted to. This is what Micah did. He stopped focusing on the pain, Micah in the Bible, he stopped focusing on the pain and the wrong in his world, and he was able to succeed. It stands to reason then, if we attract situations by our thinking, then we also attract people who think like us. If we maintain an unhealthy and toxic relationship, we will start suffering from low self-esteem. This leads to destructive thoughts and negative actions until that person has finally reached the inability to succeed. If we can change our thought process like Micah did, it will lead to healthy and lasting relationships. If you start surrounding yourself with people who are loving, positive, and successful, then you will have your ability to succeed, and everything in your life will be on the increase. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Be careful of who your friends are. Be careful what you talk about. Be careful who you talk about and how you talk about them, though. If you need to ask yourself, am I going to fly with the eagles, or am I going to peck like the buzzards? That is as plain as down to earth as we need to get with ourselves sometimes. We can fly with who we want to and make it in this life. But who do you choose to hang out with? We need to surround ourselves with people that help us succeed both on a personal level and a spiritual level. I want friends like this. As Christians, we have to differentiate between being a friend to the world and a friend of the world. First of all, we need to understand that we are not of this world. 1 John 4:4-6 says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Like the song says, this world is not my own. I'm just passing through." This doesn't mean that we cannot be friends to the world. We are not of the world. We are the light of the world. Matthew 5:14 says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." In order to let our light shine and for people to see our good works, we need to show ourselves friendly to the world. But to who? The drunkard, the drug addicts, the people who, for better words, this is not, I don't want to offend anybody that's of age today, and if you haven't heard this slang, some of the young kids know what this is, but sometimes we get angry when somebody flips you off. And all the kids laugh. Well, I knew that wasn't probably, but it's nothing bad. A person who even cuts in front of you. You don't hear that from a preacher, do you? The African-Americans, the Mexicans, even the ones who intentionally don't speak to you. You've got to be friendly. You've got to show yourself friendly. We are called to be the chosen and called and chosen to be the friend to the world and yet not of the world. Being a friend to the world does not mean we go party with them. It doesn't mean that we go and sin with them. But like Jesus did, it means that we can sit down in their house, that we can eat dinner with them. We need to be their friends. How else can you win people to the Lord? We have to stop being so scared of the world, because the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus threw the entire religious community in an uproar when he sat down and ate with the publicans and the sinners. Yet his own motivation was to call them to repentance. And that should be ours. That should be ours. In Mark 2 and verse 16 and 17. Says, when the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come to call the righteous. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. How can we win the world unless we go out and pull them off of the streets? Jesus was never timid about any of these things. And we should act the same as he has acted. One occasion, Paul had to correct himself on this subject. He said, listen to what he says. In 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 11, it says, I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then ye must needs go out of the world. But now I have written to you that to keep this company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one not to eat with.
I'm Donnie Bryson. You've been listening to the Gospel Mailbox. If you want to contact us, call us at 423-544-0623, or you can contact us via the internet, www.gospelmailbox.org, or you can write us via post, P.O. Box 2446, Chattanooga, Tennessee 37409. This has been the Gospel Mailbox, where we bring Christ's love letter to you.